it's Flynn!
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Oh, it's the
Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Car New, and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
A new series based on Isabel Scott Rorick's gay, sophisticated Mr. and Mrs. Cougar, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning.
I'm going home.
From Hollywood, the Red Skelton Program, brought to you by Procter & Gamble's amazing new discovery for your whole family wash, Tide.
Yep, yep, yep.
With Red Skelton, David Rose, his orchestra, the Four Knights, and Lorraine Tuttle, Pat McGee, and Dick Ryan, Martha Wentworth, and John Holbrook will be me, Rod O'Connor.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, Doc, we've got company.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning.
And now here is your guide to these adventures of the mind.
And now, here is
what's she sending us?
Oh, you wouldn't be interested. And it's a shame, too. She took such a fancy to you when she came to see us that time.
Oh, sure. I spent 9 days digging out that Civil War photo of hers out of the attic to put on the piano to show how we loved her. And what happened?
What did?
She took one look at it, sniffs, and says, oh, never had it tinted, did you? Why, that nosy... What'd she say in her letter?
Well, she said she was sending us a valuable present. Registered, insured mail.
Mm-hmm.
She said it belonged to her husband, and he'd always been very proud of it.
Her husband? If she's sending me another pair of those yellow button shoes of his, with the box toes... No, no. She wouldn't spend the dime to get something like that registered.
Oh, now, McGee, just because Aunt Sarah happens to have a little money is not...
A little money? Why, that old she-miser holds the first mortgage on Fort Knox. Why, she's got more mazuma than...
Who's that?
I'll peek and see. Uh-oh. It's that mail woman.
Uh-oh. That could very well be the package that Aunt Sarah has sent to Fibber McGee and Molly. I wonder what it is, and... I'll tell you what it is. It's a diamond stick pin. And the diamond stick pin, I had to look this up. A diamond stick pin was used in the 18th century for men who wore cravats or something like that to keep the cravat in place. And, of course, the cravat evolved into the tie. And when the tie came about, the diamond stick pin was kind of impractical. But it was a very necessary part of the men's apparel in the 18th and 19th century. It was usually made out of gold, although I don't really think gold would have been proper because gold bends so easily. So I think it was probably the gold was sprayed on to something like steel or aluminum. And the diamond stick pin looked very similar to women's hat pins that kept their hats in place when they wore them so they wouldn't blow off when they went outside. So it looked very similar to a hat pin. And it had a sharp point at one end, and on the other end it usually had some kind of sparkly jewel or diamonds or something like that, or even something as hideous as a hand, a golden hand, at the end of the stick pin. Anyway, it could be gaudy, or it could be really ornate or pretty, and in this case, we'll have to find out whether or not this stick pin is gaudy or practical or pretty when you listen to this Fibber McGee and Molly from January 2nd, 1945.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax Products for home and industry present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. It's always been a temptation the first of a new year to make resolutions. Well, even if you can't keep them all, it's good for the soul to make a few. May I suggest one that would be good in many ways and very easy to keep? Well, you've probably guessed it. But why not resolve in 1945 to practice protective housekeeping with wax, with genuine Johnson's wax? I mean, not just wax your floors, but go right through your house from front door to kitchen and give wax protection to your furniture and woodwork as well. To your windowsills, lampshades, ornaments, your refrigerator, picture frames, leather goods. The coat of wax protects all these surfaces from wear, makes cleaning ever so much easier, and adds immeasurably to the beauty of your home. Raise your right hand. In 1945, I will practice protective housekeeping with wax. Thank you. One subject that's always good for an argument at 79 Wistful Vista is Aunt Sarah. Mrs. McGee thinks she is a sweet, lovable old darling. And what Mr. McGee thinks of her shouldn't happen to a dog. You'll see what we mean as we join Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
But McGee, darling, you don't know what Aunt Sarah said. You didn't even read her letter.
I don't have to read her letters. I've read her character. That buck-clutching old bimbo is closer than two coats of shellac.
Now, please, McGee, Aunt Sarah's my own blood relative.
She might be if she had any.
Heavenly days. Anybody'd think Aunt Sarah was the stingiest woman in the world to hear you talk.
I can only think of one woman in history who dished out dough any slower.
Who?
The Venus de Milo. She didn't have any hands. Or pockets.
Aunt Sarah's just careful, McGee. You just remember, she got caught in the panic of 1893.
That old prune was the panic of 1893. Got more folding money than Johnson has wax. And the only foundation she ever endowed was the one she's been wearing ever since. And that ain't an endowment. That's a trust.
Well, now, if you're so set against the poor old dear, I don't suppose you want any part of what she's sending us.
You can play that on your ocarina in six flats, baby. I don't want any part of anything that'll... What's she sending us?
Oh, you wouldn't be interested. And it's a shame, too. She took such a fancy to you when she came to see us that time.
Oh, sure. I spent 9 days digging out that Civil War photo of hers out of the attic to put on the piano to show how we loved her. And what happened?
What did?
She took one look at it, sniffs, and says, "Oh, never had it tinted, did you?" Why, that knows it. What'd she say in her letter?
Well, she said she was sending us a valuable present. Registered insured mail.
Mm-hmm.
She said it belonged to her husband, and he had always been very proud of it.
Her husband? If she's sending me another pair of those yellow button shoes of his, with the box toes... No, no. She wouldn't spend the dime to get something like that registered.
Oh, now, McGee, just because Aunt Sarah happens to have a little money is not...
A little money? Why, that old she-miser holds the first mortgage on Fort Knox. Why, she's got more mazuma than...
Who's that?
I'll peek and see. Uh-oh. It's that mail woman.
Don't call her a mail woman. Sounds like a circus freak. Say the woman who delivers the mail.
It's too cumbersome. Why not just the baguette like we used to?
Well, all right, come in.
Hi, sis. You got some mail for us?
No, I'm just going around ringing doorbells for the fun of it.
Don't ask silly questions, dear, if you don't want silly answers.
Is this 79 Wistful Vista?
No, we just put that number over the door to kid people, sis. This is really the Empire State Building.
McGee.
Well, she was asking silly questions herself, too.
Just a formality, sir. Is this lady Mrs. Molly McGee?
I am that.
Have you any identification, madam?
She's got a small scar on her elbow from getting it caught in the ringer, sis. We also had some x-rays of her teeth, but we used them for Christmas cards. You know, don't be down in the mouth. Have a Merry Christmas.
I'd prefer a ration book or a driver's license or something similar.
My goodness, I know the United States mail must go through, but must it go through all this?
I have a very valuable consignment for you, madam. I'm responsible for delivering it to the proper person.
Oh, my wife is proper, all right, sis. She'd rather eat a dry hamburger than spank the bottom of a ketchup bottle in public. And furthermore,
she... Be quiet, dearie. Here, miss, here's a bracelet with my name on it. Where's the package?
Right here, madam.
Heavenly days, McGee. It's from Aunt Sarah.
That don't thrill me any, baby. Probably a handful of Dewey buttons.
Well, we'll soon see. You don't mind if I open this, miss?
Not at all, madam. I'll be glad to see that it was delivered in good condition.
Open the box. Open the box. Open it up. Ah, I thought so. A little square of cotton. My gosh, what a gift. What do we use that for, to dry our tears at the thought of her generosity? A little dab of cotton.
Oh, that's just the way the box is packed, McGee. Now, look. Oh! It's Uncle Louie's diamond stick pin.
What? Woo! Wow! What a rock! Why, that must be 7 carats at least.
It's 10 carats if I ever ate one.
Pardon me, would you mind signing for this, please?
Huh?
Yeah, sure, of course. Thank you. Where do I sign?
Right here. Thank you. And here. Thank you. Now down here in 2 places. Thank you, thank you.
My gosh, sis. When you deliver stuff as valuable as this, you ought to travel with an armed guard.
I do.
Huh?
All right, men. Bow. Face. Huh. Forward. Heart.
Billy Mills and the orchestra play the Carioca.
Diamond I ever saw outside of the White Sox Park.
Ah, good old Aunt Sarah. I knew the old girl had come through one of these days. My gosh, a 10-carat diamond.
Say, haven't you changed your tune about Aunt Sarah?
It's the same tune. I just fixed up the lyrics a little. Ah, great old gal, Aunt Sarah. I'm happy to admit I was wrong about her. To think of her sending me a diamond stick pin.
It was addressed to me, dearie, if you'll remember.
No, women don't wear stick pins.
Well, this one is going to wear this one. If I have to wear a necktie on my house dress. Isn't it beautiful?
Better than that. It's valuable. My gosh, diamonds must run about $1,000 a carat, and they get valuabler as they get bigger. So this ought to be worth about 15 grand.
I've always wanted a big diamond. One that was really vulgar.
And you got one, Snooky. If you had this thing in a ring, you'd have to wear your arm in a sling. Ought to be carried over the shoulder in a pair of ice tongs. I never saw such a rock.
Oh, hello, Alice. Look what Aunt Sarah just sent us.
Yeah, a 10-carat diamond, Alice. Peek through your fingers at it. It ain't equipped with dimmers, but...
Creepy. slippers. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, who did you say sent it to you?
My Aunt Sarah, Alice.
Yeah, our favorite relative, Alice. Grand old girl. One of the best.
Aunt Sarah. Isn't she the one that Mr. McGee is always saying that she's a
human piggy bank with a built-in grunt? Yeah. She's the one.
Well, my gosh, when a guy admits he was wrong, why...
And he always gave me the impression that she was...
going to sell her house and go live in her safe deposit box? Yes, he often said
that. Okay. My gosh, can anybody take a joke? Gee whiz, I was always very fond of Aunt Sarah, in my quiet way.
Well, it certainly is a gorgeous diamond, Mrs. McGee. I never knew oysters grew diamonds that big.
Oh. Oysters grow pearls, Alice. Mm-hmm.
Jeepers, pearls too? Why, the versatile little things.
No, Alice. Diamonds come from... They're grown and the diamonds are a product of... They come from...
Aunt Sarah.
Yeah, people give them to you.
Was there something you wanted, Alice?
Yes, Mrs. McGee. I wondered if you had any extra V-mail stationery. I've got a stack of letters to write, and I haven't any V-mail paper left.
I'm sorry, kid. Nary a sheet of it. But there's plenty of other kinds in the desk there. You're welcome to.
Yes, you can take your choice of stationery from the Ambassador Hotel, the Santa Fe Railroad, the Chicago World's Fair, or the Kansas City Stockyard.
No, thanks. V-mail gets where it's going so much faster, I don't like to use anything else.
Why do they call it V-mail, anyway?
Well, I think it's because you can write voluminously and it gets to various villages all over the world with such wonderful velocity.
Very valid, Vera. I always get a bang out of sending letters V-mail myself. Always feel like I'm slipping a fast one over on the postal department.
Why, McGee?
Oh, I don't know. It costs you 8 cents to send a letter airmail across the country. But send a V-mail letter and they'll fly it anywhere in the world for 3 cents. You can lick a stamp and stick out your tongue at the government at the same time.
Don't you like the government, Mr. McGee?
Why, he loves it, Alice. He loved his fourth grade teacher, too. But that didn't keep him from putting flypaper inside of her overshoes. he has a wide strain of mischief in him, and it is a strain.
Well, gee whiz, the guy's...
Well, I guess I'd better get to the drugstore and get some V-mail stationery. I owe Jimmy Thompson another letter this week.
Another letter? 2 in 1 week?
3. You see, I used to go with Jimmy in high school.
Oh.
He was captain of the football team, the track team, and the basketball team.
3-letter man, eh?
Yes, so why should I cut him down now? Well, goodbye now, and take good care of that ice cube.
Oh, dear, ice cube is right, McGee. I'm a little afraid to have this diamond around the house.
Me too. Anybody found out we had a $15,000... Hey, Molly, get my gun. Quick, call the police. Run and hide. Don't stay here with me. Hurry up.
What on earth is the matter with you, McGee? You're as white as Christmas in Spitsbergen.
I just saw somebody peeking in the window. Tough-looking mug. Ugly puss on him. Gangster type.
My goodness, which window?
That one right there. You call the police while
McGee,
I...
McGee, that's not a window, that's a mirror.
Huh? Well, just goes to show what could happen. Here, Molly, you better keep the diamond.
No, you take it. It makes me nervous.
You take it. It was sent to you.
But it was meant for both of us.
Well, you're a woman. You ought to have it.
You're a man. You can guard it better.
Yes, but Chief was...
Hello, folks. Hey, what are you looking so serious about?
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. We were just debating about who should have custody of the diamond.
What diamond?
This one that Aunt Sarah just sent us. See?
Hmm.
Well, burn my toast if that isn't a rock.
Betcha.
Say, if that whistle.
Say, if that was crushed, you could pave a driveway with it.
Sir, a stone like that is like a restaurant pie, Junior. You got to study it before you cut it.
You say this thing was a gift?
Yes, for my Aunt Sarah, Mr. Wilcox. McGee's favorite aunt, as of 10 minutes ago.
Oh, I always loved Aunt Sarah. Oh. You know that. What would you say that diamond was worth, Junior?
Well, gee, I'm no jewel expert, pal, but offhand, I'd say this stone was worth about $20,000.
Heavenly days, $20,000.
I'd have said $15,000, but you know me, always conservative.
Look at it glitter.
Yep.
Well, I haven't seen anything gleam like that since I gave my last demonstration of how Johnson's self-polishing glow coat makes faded and worn linoleum glisten like new again.
Waxy, is there any subject that anybody could discuss that you couldn't whittle the sales angle out of it?
I don't know. Let me think. No.
What if this had been a ruby, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, that would have been a coincidence, Molly. It was my sister Ruby I was demonstrating the glow coat to. Just showing her how simple it is to pour a little glow coat on the scuffed and tired old linoleum, spread it around with a long-handled applier, and let it dry to a shiny, protective finish in 20 minutes or less. How it saves hours of tedious scrubbing.
Just a minute, Waxy. What if we showed you an emerald?
Oh, gee, that reminds me, the Emerald Avenue bowling alleys.
Hmm?
We had a date to go bowling this afternoon, Fibber, remember?
Oh, my gosh, I'd forgot all about it, Junior. I'll get my hat and be right with you. Don't wait up for me, Molly,
McGee,
because...
no, please, now, don't leave me in the house alone with a $20,000 diamond. I'd be frightened to death.
Oh, but, Molly, I can't take it with me. You don't wear 10-carat diamonds to go bowling.
Well, I see where you're both going to be worn out if you keep this up. You don't dare go out, and you don't dare stay home with it around.
Well, what'll we do?
Have it insured and stop worrying.
Well, for... I never thought of that. Waxy, you're very bright.
Huh, you think I'm bright? You ought to see a newly polished...
No, yes, yes. Sure, we know. Do you mind if McGee doesn't go bowling with you tonight, Mr. Wilcox?
I'm sorry, Junior, but you see how it is.
Oh, that's okay, pal. We can go some other time. You get that stick pin insured. Hey, go see my cousin, Big Barney Wilcox, in the security building. He'll appraise it for you.
Does he handle jewelry insurance, Mr. Wilcox?
Oh, he specializes in insuring jewelry and opera singers' voices.
Odd combination.
Oh, I don't know. An opera singer thinks as much of her precious stones as a jeweler. Tell Big Barney I sent you.
Precious tones, heavenly days.
Yeah. Ever notice, Molly, whatever you want done, he's always got a cousin or an uncle that can handle it?
Yes, it's pretty handy, too, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Well, I'll run upstairs and put on my face, McGee. We better leave right away.
Hey, we better tell Beulah we're going out. Oh, Beulah! Oh, Beulah!
Somebody whooping for Beulah?
Mr. McGee and I have to get downtown right away, but we'll be back for dinner.
Okay, ma'am. In case somebody calls up while you're gone, you want me to take the backwarding address?
You mean forwarding address?
No, sir, I mean so you can call them back.
Oh,
well, we won't be gone long, Beulah. We're just going to have a diamond stick pin appraised and insured. Show it to her, McGee.
Here, Beulah. Take a look at that.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly days, if you don't mind me quoting you, ma'am. That is the gorgeousest, magnificentest diamond I ever did see. If Santa Claus bring you that, he got a new believer.
No, my Aunt Sarah sent us that, Beulah.
Aunt Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, ma'am, but ain't she the one Mr. McGee always saying she's as tight as a string on a tennis racket?
I was just kidding about that, Beulah. Aunt Sarah is really a wonderful person. Sweet, generous, really lovable.
That's a revised estimate, ain't it, sir?
Slightly, Beulah. But who wouldn't revise their opinion of somebody who sent them a diamond like this?
Oh, you sure got something there, ma'am. I wish Ira could see this.
Ira?
Yeah, I said, that's my finance.
You mean fiance, Beulah. Finance refers to money.
So do Ira, with the deepest respect. He think we ain't got enough yet to get married on.
He pretty cautious about money, Beulah?
Yes, sir, he is. He's a real nice boy, Ira is, but sometimes... Oh, sometimes I wish he would fling a little. Oh. How much a little old diamond like this worth, Paul?
Oh, 20,000 at a guess, Beulah.
20,000? How much is that in money, sir?
That's more than we ever saw, Beulah. That's why we've got to have it appraised and insured.
Yeah, it's a funny feeling, too. Here we've been on the rocks for 20 years, and now we got the rocks on us.
You got the rocks on you, you mean? Love that man.
The King's Men sing Don't Fence Me In.
Wildcat Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. When that sheriff said, I'm sending you to jail, Wildcat raised his head and cried. Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Oh, no, 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 don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences, so don't fence me in. Just give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Never, never, never fence me in.
Oh, never, never.
Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Never, never, never fence me in. I want to go loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. Put me on the top of my cayuse. Let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze up at the moon until I lose all my senses. Take off the bracelets, I can't stand fences. Don't ever do it,
no,
don't fence me.
Goodness, McGee, I never saw so many insurance offices in my life. Why are they all in the same building?
I don't know. I suppose they all get in the same building so they won't be bothered by insurance salesmen.
Yes, but...
Well, hello there, Molly. Hello, Rumpelstiltskin, with the emphasis you know where.
Hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hi, Doc, you old tummy pumper. What are you doing in an insurance building? Making a deal with them before you knock off a couple of patients?
Why, McGee, what a horrible thought.
The idea of his even thinking is horrible enough, Molly. As a matter of fact, Lemonhead, I was paying the premium on my own insurance. Do you find anything sinister in that?
Yes, because you must have cheated to get any insurance in the first place. According to the charts, a guy of your weight ought to be 12 feet tall.
Listen to Skinny McGee.
Yes, listen to Superman, spelled with two P's. Did you ever try leaving the table hungry? Did you ever try leaving the table hungry?
No. Do you ever leave in the middle of a movie?
Oh, movies aren't fattening, McGee.
They're broadening, though, dear. And from the looks of him, he spent the best years of his life sitting through double features.
Well, you're about four axe handles across the pistol pockets yourself. I don't mean Boy Scout hatchets. You ought to stand back and take a good... Hey, look what Aunt Sarah sent us, Doc.
We're going to get it appraised and insured.
Well, it's a very pretty stick pin.
What do you mean, a pretty stick pin? That's the doggondest biggest diamond you ever laid your big fat eyes on.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm deeply impressed, McGee. Now what do I do? Tiptoe away with my hat in my hand?
Well, I thought it was pretty nice of Aunt Sarah to send it to us, Doctor.
You remember me speaking of Aunt Sarah, Doc? That wonderful aunt of ours with all the old day? We're very fond of her.
Yes, I've heard you speak of her, you little hypocrite. You said she was
now,
the worst...
Now, just a darn minute, Gamble. Never mind what I said. I won't have anybody disparaging Aunt Sarah. Even me.
We better be on our way before it gets too late, McGee.
Yeah, well, we'll see you later, Doc. Got to get to the appraiser before he closes up.
That's a one-sided worry. You could get to the Dutch East Indies before you close up.
Well, he wasn't much impressed by the diamond, was he, McGee?
No, but if it had been a gallstone that size, he'd have fell right on his face. Hey, here's where we're going. Big Barney Wilcox. Jewels appraised. Come on.
Yes? And what can I do for you?
We want to see Mr. Big Barney Wilcox. Mr. Harlow Wilcox sent us.
Cousin of yours, I believe, Big.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen little Harlow in years. What's he doing now?
Oh, still plugging away.
Still plugging. Fine. Fine, fine. And what could I do for you?
We want to get this diamond appraised for insurance, Big.
I see. Quite a large stone there. Just step in here, please.
Okay.
Heavenly days, a burglar would have a hard time breaking through that door, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. Be much easier to come down through the ceiling. That's just plaster. Now then, you want this stick pin appraised?
That's the idea, Big. Just estimate it to the nearest $5,000. That's near enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait till I screw this glass in my eye. Mm-hmm. Now then, this won't take but a moment. Mm-hmm.
This diamond was sent to us by a wealthy aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Hated to leave it around the house without it being insured.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't like to carry it around either.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we couldn't get another one if we wanted it big.
Mm-hmm.
This man of ours has got all the dough in the world except a few bucks that are being spent on the war effort. Wonderful old girl, heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any flaws in the diamond, Mr. Big Barney?
Mm-hmm.
There aren't, eh?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, this suspense is killing me. How much would you say it was worth?
Well, at a rough estimate, madam, I'd say there was about 40 cents worth of gold in the pin. Mm-hmm. And the diamond is strictly from the bottom of a beer bottle.
What? It's an imitation?
You mean it ain't a real diamond?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's Aunt Sarah for you. That penny-pinching, miserly old droop. She's got a tighter clutch than a 10-ton truck. What have I always said about her? She's the worst nipple-nibbling, tight-pocketed old...
Winter must have been a very trying time to our grandmothers in the days when kitchen floors got scrubbed once a week, and "please don't track up my floors" was such a familiar request. How grateful those earlier housekeepers would have been for Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Imagine not having to worry about wet feet tracking across the linoleum, or things spilled. If there's a protective shield of glow coat on the floor, you can relax, because spilled things wipe up in a jiffy. And the actual linoleum surface is protected against moisture, dirt, and wear. The regular use of glow coat makes linoleum last 6 to 10 times longer, and of course keeps it bright and colorful all during its long life. And that's besides the major job of saving you work. Because it's self-polishing, glow coat needs no rubbing or buffing. Shines itself while it dries in 20 minutes to a colorful luster. Yes, our grandmothers would have been mighty happy about Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are millions of servicemen overseas who are awfully hungry for news. Just simple, gossipy news about you and home. Send them letters by V-mail, a lot of them, and often.
V-mail flies overseas. V-mail doesn't clog up the vital supply lines. But most important of all, V-mail means faster and more frequent mail to our men and women overseas. And keep your letters cheerful.
Yes, a guy with his feet in the mud, dodging high explosive and gnawing on emergency rations shouldn't be bothered with sisters, measles, late laundry, and family feuds.
Write cheerfully. Write often. Write V-mail. Right?
Right. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That little kid will be a problem for Liz and George Cooper in a half a day or so. When you listen to this, My Favorite Husband from December 30th, 1949, the episode is entitled George and Liz. are handcuffed. That's right. They end up becoming handcuffed together. What an embarrassing situation for both of them. And if you think about this episode with the little boy living next door who's so rambunctious and everything, that would spark an idea for a cartoonist named Hank Ketchum, who would create Dennis the Menace in 1950 and would later be seen on CBS television in The Adventures of Dennis the Menace, which ran for about 6 years, I believe, and very popular at the time. Anyway, enjoy this episode of My Favorite Husband from December 30th, 1949, and I'll be back with another show, more than likely Red Skelton.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L-O. The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sorry.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it.
As we look in on the Coopers tonight, we find them settled down for a quiet evening in the living room. George is at the desk working on some bank papers, and Liz is busily scribbling in a notebook.
Well, if I do say so myself, this is going to be a pretty good corporation setup for Curtis Plastics.
Uh-huh.
If Mr. Atterbury can snag this plastic account, we'll catch all the other banks in town unaware.
Uh-huh.
Well, listen to me, Liz. You didn't hear a word I said.
Did too.
Well, what did I say?
Mr. Atterbury snagged the elastic in his underwear.
No.
He snagged it on Mr. Curtis's corporation.
No. If I do a good job on this corporation setup, Mr. Atterbury can get Mr. Curtis to switch his plastic account to our bank.
Ooh.
Now do you understand?
Yes. But what were they doing in their underwear?
I will take the trouble of explaining once more, Liz.
Don't enunciate at me, George Cooper.
It's too bad you can't listen when I'm telling you something that might affect your whole future.
Well, I'm writing something that might affect my whole future.
What?
New Year's resolution.
Oh, my gosh, it is?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
All right. Number one, I promise to stop smoking cigars.
Since when have you smoked cigars?
Oh, these aren't my resolutions. They're yours.
This should be interesting. Go ahead.
Number one, I promise to stop smoking cigars. Number two, after I break number one, I will not drop ashes on the living room floor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Number three, after I break number two, I will clean the ashes
all
up myself.
Right.
Number four, I will not read the morning paper at the breakfast table.
Well.
Number five, I will let Liz open charge accounts at every store in town. Sign here, George.
Not so fast. You can just scratch out one of those resolutions.
I knew I couldn't get away with it. Okay, George, you can read the paper at the breakfast table. Sign here.
Just a minute. Let's hear the resolutions that you're making.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing, George.
What is it?
I couldn't think of a single thing for me.
Amazing. How about I, Liz Cooper, will keep within my budget this year?
Oh, that's stale resolution.
Mm. And how about I, Liz Cooper, will not hang my stockings in the bathroom this year?
Oh, they're not in your way.
Not much. Every time I go into the bathroom, I feel like I'm being attacked by a nylon octopus.
Well, I have a resolution that'll solve that problem.
What?
I, George Cooper, will not go into the bathroom this year.
Great. I wonder if they let me keep my toothbrush down at the gas station.
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, yeah? Well, you have to come and get me, you dirty rat. I'll never give you the jewels.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't dare. You wouldn't dare. You're afraid to pull that trigger. You're yellow. Oh, you got me. Now, what were you saying, George?
Miss, have you lost your mind? Who was that?
Dick Tracy.
What?
Oh, well, you know him as Little Tommy Wood from next door. He got a Dick Tracy outfit for Christmas, and we've been playing cops and robbers ever since.
Isn't that game a little advanced for you?
Now, George, Tommy's lonesome. He doesn't have anybody to play with.
Nobody to play with?
No.
He's got five brothers and five sisters.
Well, that's just it. See, he's the smallest boy. He doesn't fit in the group. His sisters won't play Dick Tracy, and his brother always make him be Tess Trueheart.
You mean Tess Tracy? He got married.
My goodness. You mean I've been playing around with a married man?
Look, if he calls again, die a little more quietly, will you? I have work to do.
Oh, don't worry. He won't call anymore.
Good.
He's coming over.
Oh, no.
Well, he just wants to show me something.
Oh, but, Liz, I have work to do.
Well, go ahead. We won't bother you. There's Tracy now.
Well, I'll take my work into the den. And if you're real quiet, I'll buy you a cat pistol all your own.
Oh, Ginger Peachy. Hello, Dick Tracy.
I got you covered, prune face.
You missed me. Come on in.
Hey, look what I got. A fingerprint outfit, a badge, a gap, and some bracelets.
Hey, now, they look like real handcuffs.
They are, and it's a real fingerprint outfit, too. I've taken a lot of prints with it.
Tommy, is it true that no two people in the whole world have the same fingerprint?
Nah, that's a lot of bunk. I already found three people who have exactly the same fingerprint.
Who?
My daddy, Santa Claus, and the crook who broke open my piggy bank.
Well, you certainly exploded that theory, Tommy.
I'm Dick Tracy again. Bang, bang!
Now, wait a minute. Give me a chance to hide.
Okay, I'll give you 10. 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 10. Here I come, ready or not. I see you, from face. Come on with your hands up.
You'll never get me, Dick Tracy. Man.
Hey, where's the ink, Liz? This fountain pen is empty.
Got that rod.
Huh?
Ah! Bang, bang, I got you, mister.
Liz, what are you doing on the floor?
I'm dead.
I got you that time, mister.
No, quiet. Liz, will you answer me?
Hold down, George. You're dead, too.
No, he's not. I just winged him.
Oh.
Now I'm picking you both prisoner. Hold out your right hand, you.
Quiet. Liz, where is that ink?
Come on, let me put the bracelets on you. I'm dizzy. It's past my bedtime.
Go ahead, George. It'll only be a minute. He has to go right home.
No, Liz.
There. And now your left hand, prune face.
Okay, here.
There. That washes up this case. Well, I have to go home now. Good night.
Good night, Dick. Oh, honey, wait a minute. You forgot the handcuffs.
Oh, yeah, the bracelet.
Yes, get out your key and unlock us.
Well, what are you waiting for, Tommy?
I don't have a key.
What do you mean you don't have a key? Liz, I told you some crazy fool
now
thing
be
like that.
Calm, George. Tommy, didn't a key come with the set?
Yeah.
Well, where is it?
Right here in the box.
Now, see, George, you just have to be calm.
But those aren't the handcuffs that came with the set.
What?
But they're ones that Daddy had in the attic.
Well, goodbye, George. Oh, I almost pulled my arm out of the socket.
Yes, we're handcuffed, remember?
Boy, did her head snap.
You little monster, why didn't you tell us there wasn't any key to these handcuffs?
You didn't ask me.
Why, you little...
Now, wait a minute. I'll just phone Mr. Wood and have him bring the key over.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Will you join me at the phone? I can't seem to make a move without you.
No, come on.
Now, you hold and I'll dial.
Well, hurry up.
Now, just relax. We'll be out of these before... Hello, Mr. Wood. This is Mrs. Cooper. You know those handcuffs you gave Tommy? Well, we were playing, and he put them on George and me. And, could you bring the key over and unlock them?
Well?
George, at our wedding, when the preacher said, "Till death do us part," he wasn't kidding.
Well, you might say that Liz and George have become quite attached to each other. Wonder how they'll manage when it's time to eat. I wouldn't want either one of them to miss out on Jell-O, especially if Katie serves this Harlequin compote for dessert. It's swell, made with sunshiny, fruit-rich lemon Jell-O. Just dissolve lemon Jell-O in 2 cups of hot water and fruit juices. When slightly thickened, fold in 1.5 cups of diced canned fruits and 1/4 cup of chopped maraschino cherries. Turn into a loaf pan and sprinkle with shredded coconut. It's a perfect holiday treat. Sparkling lemon Jell-O, gay with colorful fruits. All 6 delicious Jell-O flavors are rich with wonderful locked-in goodness. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. So look for those big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O, a registered trademark of General Foods Corporation.
J-E-L-L-O.
And now back to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband. George have been real buddy-buddies since little Tommy Woods inadvertently handcuffed them together several hours ago. Right now, we find them frantically trying to get the darn things off.
Ouch!
Oh, sorry, the file slipped. Am I getting any place, Liz?
Well, you're not doing much to the handcuffs, but you've got one of my fingers filed almost through.
Oh, great. Are you sure you called every locksmith in the book?
Yes, and not one of them was in his office. I don't understand. Only midnight.
Oh, handcuffed. Oh, Liz, how do you get me mixed up in ridiculous scrapes like this?
It isn't easy. So now there must be some way out of this. I know. I know we can call the police. Come on, back to the phone.
Oh, no, 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 we can't do that. Not the police.
Why not? They can just... George, is there something about your past you haven't told me?
Oh, now, Liz.
Have you been up the river?
Now, cut it out.
Tell me all, George. I won't squeal to the bulls.
Look, if we call the police, our pictures will be in all the papers. Oh, I can see the headline now. Dick Tracy captures Mr. and Mrs. George Pruneface.
Well, what's the difference?
Oh, nothing. Just my job, that's all. This fellow Curtis is the most conservative businessman in town. One line of bad publicity and we won't see a penny of his money.
Well, then, let's face it, George. We can't get a locksmith until tomorrow morning, so we might just as well take off our clothes and go to bed.
Yeah, and how are we going to get our clothes off?
Huh?
Well, we'll just have to stay dressed all night.
Why, that's ridiculous. Here, I'll show you. Take your coat off left arm.
Okay.
There now. See? You get it down your right arm, and then up my left arm, and...
Well...
Well, I guess there's no way for me to crawl through the sleeve, is there?
No.
Well, we'll have to undress with the scissors.
Oh, now, don't be silly. We'll just sleep with our clothes on.
Oh, well, don't be so grumpy. It could be worse.
How?
Well, suppose we weren't married. We'd have to sleep in separate rooms and slide our arms under the door. That would be worse.
No, it wouldn't. After the locksmith cut us loose, I'd be a bachelor.
Well,
come on. We can at least try to get some sleep.
George, can I ask you a little favor?
What?
Don't turn over quick during the night. You're liable to flip me right out the window. Is it 8:30?
8:30? I'll be late to meet Atterbury.
Why have you got all your clothes on?
No.
Oh, don't jump out of bed, George. We're still...
Oh, sorry, honey. I forgot we were handcuffed. Are you hurt?
No, my elbow always bends back like this.
Look, this is no time for jokes.
There's the phone, George. I'll get it if you'll step this way. Hello?
Hello, Liz. This is Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, Mr. Atterbury. Oh, you'll never believe what happened.
Don't tell him, Liz. Are you crazy?
Hello? Let me speak to George, boy, Liz, girl.
Oh, George? Oh, he's around here someplace. I'll call him.
What did you do that for, Liz?
You said you didn't want him to know we were locked together.
No, it's a good idea. Be right there, Liz! Now, hello?
Where are you, I'm waiting. Mr. Curtis will be here any minute. I want to look over those figures.
Oh, well, is it all right if I'm a little late?
Late? This is the most important deal of the year.
Tell him you're sick.
Yeah, well, I know, sir, but
tell him you're sick, honey.
What's the matter with you, George?
Well, I'm sick, honey.
What?
Oh, I'm really sick. I've got to have a little wart removed.
Now, just a minute. Give me that phone. He's too sick to talk, Mr. Atterbury. He'll be down there as soon as we get a locksmith.
Locksmith?
I mean the doctor. He's got lockjaw. Ha ha.
You get him down here by 10 o'clock, locked or unlocked, or he's fired. Goodbye.
Oh, don't worry, George. We'll get you there. I'll call the locksmith. You go and shave. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We'll phone first, and then we'll shave.
Darn it, Liz. What do you suppose is keeping that locksmith?
I don't know, George. He said he was leaving right away. I wish he'd hurry. I've got an appointment at the beauty parlor in 20 minutes.
Beauty parlor? I'm liable to lose my job, and you're worried about a shampoo.
I'm not going for a shampoo. It's much more important than that.
Well, forget it. Let's get out of these handcuffs. You can stem the black tide later.
Please. You don't have to put it so crudely. I prefer to think of it as bringing out the natural auburn highlights.
Well, let's just call it Operation Henna.
Oh, that must be Mr. Hussey, the locksmith.
Oh, finally.
You're the folks who's called for a locksmith?
Yes. Yes, where have you been?
Well, I got here as fast as I could. Had a little trouble. I locked my keys in my car. Meant to make an extra set, but never got around to it.
Yeah, well, will you get these things off?
No, don't rush me, lady. Let me look at them first. Just as I thought.
What?
They're locked, all right.
No.
Say, these are real old handcuffs.
Well, we've got our order in for the new model. Now, will you please get these off?
Well, not so fast, sister. I'm supposed to start on a weekend hunting trip, and I put it off so I can help you folks. So don't get sassy.
Oh, she didn't mean anything, Mr. Hussey. Will you take them off, please?
Well, let me see. You know, I remember a pair almost identical to these. A couple of fellas come in with them on. They was wearing suits with black and white stripes.
Well, I know, Mr. Hussey,
yeah, well, that looked kind of suspicious to me. Till they explained they'd been to a Halloween party.
Ha-ha, that was a good one. Now, if you'll just...
Of course, that was kind of odd, too, considering it was the middle of February. But they looked like honest fellas. Besides, I had a gun in my face.
Look, how about these handcuffs? We're in a hurry.
I told you the story as fast as I could. Let me see. Oh, sure. Yeah, I can open these. Here, I got the key back to the shop that'll unlock them. Yeah.
Back to the shop?
Yeah, no, don't you worry. I'll be back here in 45 minutes. Oh, no!
Wait a minute. Could you come back to the beauty shop?
Are you out of your mind?
Well, don't you see, George, you can't go to the bank with these on. We have to wait for Mr. Hussey anyway, so we might as well wait there.
I'm not going to any beauty parlor with
him. Oh, please, George, if you won't do it for me, do it for my roots.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes!
Cooper, you late? I thought you'd never get here.
Hello, Sally. Sally, this is my husband, George.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mrs. Atterbury's been looking for you, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, Iris, where is she?
In the potter room.
Oh, I'll go in and say hello.
Liz.
Oh, I forgot. I'll see her on the way out.
Yeah, well, step in this booth, honey.
Okay.
Mr. Cooper, would you mind waiting outside?
Well, I,
He likes to stay close to me, Sally. We're inseparable.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes.
All right, you can stay.
Sit down on that little stool, George. Read some of the movie magazines.
Okay.
Try to get one of the new ones.
Sally, I just want to touch up a wave and a manicure. Read the magazine to me, George.
Okay. Flash, Biograph Studios announces a new young starring team, Theta Bera and Rudolph Valentino.
Oh, you did get one of the new ones.
Get the phone, will you, Mr. Cooper? It's right by your side.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Sally's Beauty Parlor. I'd like to... Is that you, George?
No, this is Sally.
What are you doing, George?
Shh. It's Mr. Atterbury.
It sounds like you, George.
No, this is Sally.
Well, look, Sally, why aren't you down here at the bank? I called your home and they said you were at the beauty parlor.
Well...
I'm disappointed, boy. I always thought that wave was natural. I suppose you're really a brunette, too.
Well, look, Mr. Atterbury...
George, you get down here right away.
Oh, let's go, Liz. Mr. Atterbury is furious.
What about the locksmith?
Oh, the heck with him.
What about my hair?
Well, I'll have to wash the dye out.
Well, now, we don't have time. Now, come on.
Oh, good heavens, what'll happen to my head, Sally?
Well, it depends on how soon you get back. It'll either be orange, red, cerise, or bald.
Oh.
Oh, come on. We'll go in the side door. Oh, I hope we're not too late.
George, there you are, you idiot. Where have you been?
Oh, it's my fault, Mr. Atterbury.
What are you doing here, Liz?
You might not believe this, but look.
Handcuffs?
No, I'll explain later, Mr. Atterbury. Can't we tell Mr. Curtis Liz is my secretary?
No, this is highly confidential. He wouldn't stand for having anyone else around. We'll have to hide, Liz.
Yeah, but how?
Well,
you could put a shade on my head and pretend I'm a floor lamp.
No.
I could stretch out and open my mouth like a bearskin rug.
That'll do, Liz.
I know. Come into your office. Now then, Liz, get behind the sofa.
Now, wait a minute.
Hurry. George, you sit there with your arm draped nonchalantly over the back.
Okay.
Curtis won't be able to see Liz or the handcuffs.
But it's all dusty back here.
Well, you duck down and keep quiet. I'll go get Mr. Curtis.
I'm going to sneeze.
Well, sneeze and get it over with before they get here.
I can't.
Now, here they come.
Stop holding my nose. Yeah,
well, right in here, Mr. Curtis. This is Mr. Cooper.
Howdy, Mr. Cooper.
Pardon my left hand.
Certainly. He's left-handed.
Well, let's all sit here on the sofa and George can go over the figures for us.
All right.
Well, Mr. Curtis, this is the way I figure.
Hush!
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Who sneezed?
I did.
Both of you? There we go again.
Hey, speaking of sneezing, have you ever heard the story about the fan dancer with a cold?
It's
a little spicy. But since we're all men here, I guess I can tell.
Well, just a minute.
Seems there was this fan dancer, and one night, right in the middle of her dance, she sneezed.
Wait, Mr. Curtis. Don't tell us.
But it's a Darby do.
You see, I've heard.
Yeah, so have I.
I haven't.
Who said that?
Come on out, Liz.
Hello?
Young lady, what's going on here?
Oh, there you are. I've been looking all over town for you two. Yeah, I got the key. Now, let me see them handcuffs.
Handcuffs?
There you are. Free again.
Oh, that feels better.
Yeah, well, I've got to rush now. I'm off on the hunting trip at last. See you when I get back. Bye.
Give me my hat, Atterbury.
Now, Mr. Curtis, we can explain this whole thing.
There's no explaining necessary. Hiding women behind sofas. Vice President handcuffed. Some bank.
Well, you might at least give us a chance to explain.
What's there to explain? Two grown people who get themselves handcuffed together must be a couple of morons.
But that... that's just it, Mr. Curtis. It wasn't our fault. It was the little boy who did it. It could happen to you, too.
Never.
Well, don't be so sure. Suppose you were George and little Tommy Wood put one handcuff on your wrist like this, and the other one on mine like this. And it wasn't until then that you discovered there wasn't any teeth.
What have you done?
She's handcuffed herself to Mr. Curtis. That's what she's done.
Well, at least I'll find out what happened to that fan dancer.
Lucille, what gives tonight?
Bob, it's almost New Year's Eve. So you'll be old man time, and I'll be little baby 1950. A little baby music, Wilbur.
I'm old father time, getting ready to push 1949 into the past. Oh, here comes the little new year now.
Jello, everybody. Jello, 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 Jello.
Here, why are you saying Jello?
What?
Why are you saying Jello?
Can't sell anything, saying goo.
True. Say, 1950.
Oh, you wait till I look to my price tag. Yeah, I'm 1950, and I'm worried, Pop.
Why, child?
I just got my first look at this world I'm coming into. Ay, 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 ay.
Well, child, there may be some things wrong, but they're working them out. They have wonderful new inventions. And they have Jell-O.
Ooh. Oh, what am I saying? Oh, Jell-O is wonderful.
Yes, Jell-O comes in six delicious flavors. Comes in strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
And cherry.
I said that.
I know, but I left it out last week.
And that flavor makes you think of the real ripe fruit itself. It's locked in until your first delectable spoonful. So look for the big red letters on the box.
Oh, I will. You know I will.
And, child, you know what they spell, don't you?
Uh-huh. They spell,
You know they spell Jell-O, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And Jell-O. Jell-O spells a treat.
Uh-huh. And Bob, get out of my way. I'm in. Happy New Year, everybody!
My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tap. Feel the pudding just real. Mine. With that real Northwood flavor, so fine, oh so fine. Blended cane and pure maple, it tops on your table. That real maple flavor does pancakes a favor. It's Log Cabin syrup for mine.
Yes, Log Cabin is the syrup with that delicious Northwood's maple flavor. It's America's most popular quality table syrup. Enjoy it on waffles or pancakes for Sunday night suppers as well as at breakfast.
It's Log Cabin syrup for mine.
Listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting.
Just because he works for MGM as a star clown
and is brought to you by Procter & Gamble doesn't mean he's so different when it comes to buying insurance, even if he is Red Scalp.
Now, as I was saying, this policy pays double if you die a natural death.
Well, what do you classify a natural death out here? Hit by a drunk driver? Is that... Oh, we're starting off with a bang now. You know, I don't think I need any insurance. I wish that joke had some. I'd bury it. I feel wonderful. I don't need any insurance. But I do have a little heartburn now and then.
A heartburn? Mm-hmm. Well, how are you fixed for fire insurance?
How would you like to go rinse out a few things?
Now, if you just answer a couple of questions, we'll be all finished here. First, what is your full name?
Red Skelton. That's full or sober.
Do you have any knee name?
Richard Red Skelton.
Oh,
yes.
Richard. All right now, Richard.
Now, wait a minute. Everybody calls me Red.
I prefer to call you Richard.
Look, Hercules. You call me Red or there's going to be another death of a salesman around here. Huh?
Well, very well. Where were you born?
I was born in Vincennes, Indiana. In fact, I'm planning on going back there. 26 years ago, I left Vincennes as a barefooted boy.
Hmm. What are you going back for, your shoes?
Hey, everyone, it's OTR Rob welcoming you to another Red Skelton Show. This Red Skelton Show comes from January 8th, 1950. The episode is entitled, Red Skelton Needs a Physical to Work for CVS. It's been a while that Red Skelton has been with CVS for the first part of 1940, the latter part of 1949, I almost screwed that up, and CBF is asking for a physical, so now he has, with the salesman now, getting insurance before he goes to the physical. So we'll find out how able Red Skelton is to work for CBS when you listen to this Red Skelton Show, and I'll be back with Burns and Allen.
I think I'll go home.
Hey, Red. Hey. We've got a few seconds. Why don't you recite that little limerick about Tide?
Can we get Tide?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I use a box of Tide. Dirt particles had better hide. Cause when I shout Tide's in and dirt's out, it's the truth. And you can use me with pride. We on?
Yeah, we're on. From Hollywood, Procter & Gamble's Tide, the largest selling wash day product in America, proudly presents the Red Skelton Program. David Rose and his orchestra are singing stars. The Four Knights, Lorene Tuttle, Pat McGee, and Dick Ryan, Martha Wentworth, and John Holbrook will be me, Rob O'Connor. Just because he works for MGM as a star clown and is brought to you by Procter & Gamble doesn't mean he's so different when it comes to buying insurance, even if he is Red Skelton.
As I was saying, this policy pays double if you die a natural death.
Well, what do you classify a natural death out here? Hit by a drunk driver? Is that... Oh, we're starting off with a bang now. You know, I don't think I need any insurance. I wish that joke had some. I'd bury it. I feel wonderful. I don't need any insurance. But I do have a little heartburn now and then.
A heartburn? Mm-hmm. Well, how are you fixed for fire insurance?
How would you like to go rinse out a few things?
Now, if you just answer a couple of questions, we'll be all finished here. First, what is your full name?
Red Skelton. That's full or sober.
Do you have any knee name?
Richard Red Skelton.
Oh,
yes.
Richard. All right now, Richard.
Now, wait a minute. Everybody calls me Red.
I prefer to call you Richard.
Look, Hercules. You call me Red or there's going to be another death of a salesman around here. Huh?
Well, very well. Where were you born?
I was born in Vincennes, Indiana. In fact, I'm planning on going back there. 26 years ago, I left Vincennes as a barefooted boy.
Hmm. What are you going back for, your shoes?
How would you like to turn blue?
You have an awful temper, Richard.
Look, I told you to call me Red.
Go on, strike me. I have double indemnity.
Look, why don't you get some insurance to cover that hole in your head, boy?
Please. One of the questions is profession. Yes. Are you a plumber?
No, I'm not a plumber.
Are you positive? I swear you fixed a leaky faucet of mine one time, Richard.
If I had, I would have never let a drip like you run loose.
Well, here's your papers. Now, all you have to do is get a physical checkup from our doctor, and then we can tell if you qualify for a policy or not.
Well, I am in perfect physical condition. Look at my chest. Look at those shoulders. Look at them arms. Look at them.
Oh, not so fast. I'm still trying to find your chest.
Okay, I'll go get a physical.
Well, I hope you can pass.
No?
Well, I hate to cheat the company this way. Well, happy blood pressure, Richard.
And an open manhole to you.
Did you call me?
No, Mr. Foote. You probably got your hearing aid on short wave again. What have you been doing?
Oh,
Now.
Yes, I will. I've been trying those new cold tablets, you know. You know the kind that stops cold before it starts?
Oh, they do, huh?
Yeah.
Do you get rid of your cold?
Yes. I've been defrosting all day. You know,
I thought you were a little lukewarm when you walked up here.
Now, Mr. Skelton, maybe you should try my cold tablet.
But I don't have a cold.
Oh, that's okay. These pills will cure it anyway.
Look, don't look now, Mr. Fred, but I think you've slipped your trolley again.
Oh, Mr. Skelton, is that any way to talk to your house boy?
Get a load of the boy. This guy saw the preview, The Birth of a Nation. Back he wrote for the doctor. This guy shook the tree for Adam and Eve to get the apple from. This guy's so old he remembers that the writer who worked here gave me these jokes, had a job.
Now, Mr. Skelton, I think I'm pretty lively for my age.
Lively? Yesterday you went for a walk and a vulture followed you with a tape measure. Oh, somebody's at the door. I'll get it.
Okay.
Hiya, Skelton.
Well, if it isn't Procter & Gamble's answer to Mount Whitney. Come on in, old Connor.
I just dropped by to collect that bet we made on the Rose Bowl game. You ready to pay off?
Yeah, the tide's already in the wash machine. Did you bring your laundry?
Yes, it's right here. Say, that was some Rose Bowl game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that Ohio State can really play football.
Yeah, but California was at a disadvantage. They were so busy trying to keep those smudge pots going, they couldn't concentrate on the game.
Well.
Now, no. Wait. That's a joke I told, boy.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Well, tell it again.
I said California was at a disadvantage. They had to keep the smudge pots going.
Well, tell me when. I don't want to step on anything. Hey, I got to go down to the medical building and get an examination. Here's a line. It sounds like a Chinese name. Want to come along?
Oh, yes, I do. I want to see the doctor's face when he finds out the hair on your chest is a toupee.
Look, boy, don't laugh. I remember when you had a physical checkup and they had to jack up your stomach to tap your knee.
Well, you know, it's not so funny. It's the first time I knew I had a knee.
Hey, before we go, get some exercise music on there. We'll get in shape a little. Turn the radio on, will you? Mm-hmm.
And now we interrupt the commercials to bring you Dave Rose and his orchestra. Dave will play a medley of popular tunes by Ted Fiorito. And his orchestra will play anything that comes to their mind.
Well, that's good music for push-offs.
a brand new Tide Miracle. Now with Tide, you can get your wash sparkling clean without rinsing. That's right. With Procter & Gamble's Tide, you don't have to rinse. Here's why. Tide gets the dirt out of clothes and keeps it suspended in the sudsy water. So when you wring or spin dry your clothes, the dirt goes out along with the wash water. Your clothes come out clean, white, fresh. They dry soft and fluffy, iron easily, smell sweet and clean. Yes, I said clean. You know how clean Tide has always washed your clothes with rinsing. Cleaner than any other washing product you can buy. Now we want you to try Tide without rinsing and compare the results. Why, it's unbelievable how bright, fresh, and clean your clothes will be. And think of the time and work you save. You can cut your wash day work in half. Yes, it's another new wash day miracle from Tide. Try it. Use Tide and get your clothes really clean without rinsing.
Tide is dirt. Oh, Tide gets clothes cleaner than all of them. T-I-D-E, Tide.
So here's the medical billing. You know, Rod, now that I'm here, I'm getting nervous.
Oh, buck up, Red. It's only a physical. Nothing can happen to you.
Nothing can happen. The last time I took a physical, I wound up in the Army.
That was war hysteria.
Where is that?
Hey, Red.
Huh?
Look at that guy over there in the corner shadow boxing.
Oh, looks like he's losing, too.
Yeah. Say, I know him. He's Cauliflower McPug, the ex-fighter. Boy, is he punchy. Come on, let's say hello to him.
No, I gotta go up to the doctor's office. I'll meet you up there.
Okay. Hey, Cauliflower.
That's enough. Stay in your corner, bub. Stay in your corner, man. Don't come out till the bell rings. The bell ain't gonna get you,
know. It's me, Cauliflower. Rod O'Connor.
Rod O'Connor. You know me, huh?
Yes.
You know me, huh? Say, you remember the big fight I had with Babyface Irving?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I remember a thing.
You got knocked out in the first round.
That I know, but was I colorful? That's the point. You know, I could have taken the middleweight crown except for the fact that I had some pretty bad breaks, you know. And my jaw was broken in 10 places. Some of them fights I was framed. I was put on the font.
The what?
Put on the font. S-B-O-T. Let's not get our verbs in enough, boy.
Well, your jaw looks all right now.
Yeah, my jaw looked all right, except it should be below my lip. No, no, my jaw. You know, in my day, they told me that I could be another Jim Colbert. Can you imagine me Jim Colbert? Can you imagine that, me Jim Colbert? Who's Jim Colbert? You know, you gotta watch this fight game. It'll get you after a while. You get punchy, you start hearing bells, you know. Mm-hmm. That's bad when you start hearing bells and stuff, you know. You were saying, answer the phone, will you?
Have you done any fighting lately, Cauliflower?
Only with my wife. Only with my wife. Mm-hmm. But I'm fighting her again next week. And if I win, I get a shot at her old lady, you know. She's wrestling on telephone. Answer that phone, will you?
Well, there's no phone.
Well, no, is that phone. A good humor man went by? Say,
Do you have any children?
Oh, I guess that's what you'd call them, yeah.
I have a little boy.
Huh?
I have a little boy.
Well, I have a little boy, too. Maybe it's the same kid.
You know, Cauliflower,
huh?
I think you've taken too many punches.
Well, I haven't let any of them get by me. Hold it, will you?
Yeah?
6 o'clock, the chime just went off. I can whip any man on the street.
Yeah, I'll bet you can.
Yeah, I can still lick anybody on the street.
How about that guy standing over there? Could you lick him?
Yeah, 6 foot tall, about 210 pounds. Oh, picked up Mauler, boy. Picked up Mauler.
Okay, how about that fella coming out of the drugstore?
Well, let me see. About 5'8", 165. I wish you'd answer that phone. No, he looks like he's in a hurry. You better pick something smaller, will you?
Well, how about that boy scout helping the old lady across the street?
That's my meat, boy. Here, hold my coat, will you? You better hold that boy scout, too. I don't want that old lady getting any help at all.
Well, I'll see you later. I've got to catch up with Skelton.
Yeah, all right, I got to go in and get weighed in for the fight with the little woman, you know. I'll see you down at the gym.
Jim who?
Jim Corbett. Who's Jim Corbett? Say, Dr. Van Synthescope, how is my blood pressure? Well, that sounds more like my heart.
I don't understand German. Is it up or is my pressure down?
Well, let's say it just lays there. Tell me, do you ever complain of dizzy spells?
Well, no, do you?
Yes. Could you maybe prescribe something for me?
Well, you're supposed to be the doctor.
Oh, I keep forgetting. I'm so new in this country.
Oh, yeah. How long ago did you leave Ireland? Look, finish the examination so I can get out of here, will you?
Well, first I must check your ears.
Right.
Oh, now, they ain't that big, boy.
Now, I'll check your heart. Throw out your chest.
I ain't through with it yet. Throw out yours. It's in worse shape.
That completes the examination. Yeah. If you'll come back in an hour, I'll give you a full report.
Okay, swell, Doc. Hey, Rod, I gotta come back in an hour. You wanna go have some coffee?
No, I'm going to stay here and read this magazine. This one seems pretty new. It says Coolidge refuses to run again.
Hey, look, who's in the doctor's office across the hall there, the four knights?
I wonder what they're doing here.
They probably came in for a four-way cold tablet. Hey, listen, I think they're having their throats examined.
If your mind is in a dither and your heart is in a haze, I haste your dither and dither your haste with the magic phrase. If you're chased around by trouble and you're followed by a jinx, I jinx your trouble and trouble your jinx in less than 40 winks. Oh, salagadoola, minchicaboola, babbity-bobbity-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Babbity-bobbity-boo. Salagadoola, minchicaboola, babbity-bobbity-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola means minchicaboolaroo, but the thingamabob that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola, minchicaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi, bibbidi-bobbidi, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Oh, salagadoola, minchicaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Flat-a-ga-doo-la, mitch-a-ga-boo-la, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Flat-a-ga-doo-la means mitch-a-ga-boo-la-roo. But the thing-a-bob that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Flat-a-ga-doo-la, mitch-a-ga-boo-la, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got?
Minchicaboola-roo! Now, Bibbidi Bobbidi-Boo! Ladies, here's a brand new Tide miracle. Now with Tide, you can get your wash really clean without rinsing. That's right. With Procter & Gamble's Tide, there's no need to rinse. Here's why. Tide gets the dirt out of clothes and keeps it suspended in the sudsy water. When you wring or spin dry your clothes, the dirt goes out along with the wash water. Your clothes are clean, white, fresh. They dry soft and fluffy, iron easily, smell sweet and clean. Yes, clean. You know how clean Tide washes clothes with rinsing. Cleaner than any other washing product you can buy. Now, try Tide without rinsing and compare the results. It's unbelievable how bright, fresh, and clean your clothes will be. And you save time and work. Why, you can cut your wash day work in half. So try it next wash day. Use Tide and get really clean clothes without rinsing.
Hey, bye, yeah.
Well, Willie Lumplum. Hey, Willie, what are you doing here?
Well, let's not get nosy, Brock.
Well, what are you doing in a doctor's office? Are you ill?
No, I come in here to wait for a bus. Really, wait, I came in for a few shots. That's what I'm in for.
Well, what kind of shots?
Oh, I'm not choosy, you know. I even brought my shot glass with me.
Willie, why don't you go home and sleep it off?
What, and botch up a whole day's work? Look, I don't know why I even talk to you. Every time I see you, you get to look worse and worse. You just don't look right, boy. I tell you, I've seen a lot of people in my day, but you just don't look right. I've had a lot of queer DTs in my day, but you just don't look right.
Willie, you're causing a scene.
And another thing.
Yes?
You just don't look right.
Snap
out of it.
Yeah? Why, have I come unsnapped? Hey, come on, I'll buy you a pretzel.
They don't sell pretzels here.
Well, how they stay in business then?
I told you this is a doctor's office.
Oh, that's a likely story. A very likely story. How could it be a doctor's office? What's that television set over there for then?
That's an X-ray machine.
Well, it's a television set. I ought to know a television set. I'll just prove it to you. Yeah.
I still say it's an X-ray machine.
Quiet. The picture's coming on now. My, isn't Arthur Godfrey getting bony, though?
Oh, why don't you get lost?
Do I?
I say, why don't you get lost?
I got news for you, brother. I am lost. Well, I'll see you around. Pardon me.
Is the doctor in? Here are the X-rays and test reports on Red Skelton, Mrs. Camp, Mrs. Soderstrom.
Well, just put them on the desk there. I don't work here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll go with you, boy.
Let go of me. Let go of me.
Mister, would you please hold that door open until I can get my little boy into the doctor's office?
Yeah, now, let go of me.
Junior, now, come on.
Let go of me here. Let go of me here. I don't want to see the doctor, and I'll bet you he ain't so anxious to see me either.
Now, you do as I say.
I know your scheme, kiddo. This is the same doctor that brought me into the world, and you're just trying to get a refund.
That's not true. This doctor had nothing to do with bringing you into the world.
Oh?
That's why he can practice out in the open.
Yes. Which doctor brought me? I know who brought me.
The stork brought you.
Yeah, and then he committed suicide, right? Yes, and let's go home. I don't feel sick anymore.
Oh, what about that stomach ache you were complaining about?
It's all gone.
I had a hunch you were just putting on a sick act to get out of a sack. But it wouldn't hurt for the doctor to check up on you anyway.
Believe me, if that doctor so much as laid a widow pinky on me, he is going to need a doctor. Now, I have spoken.
Now, stop being a smarty.
I said I have spoken.
I warned you.
No. Well, I see evidently we don't speak the same language.
Oh, there's Rod O'Connor over there.
What'd you say?
Nothing, Junior, nothing.
What?
Dear, why don't you go out in the hall and get a drink of water? I want to speak to the doctor alone.
Okay, I'll go look at these bottles out in the hall.
Well, Rod O'Connor, isn't that you hiding behind that magazine?
Oh, hello, Lorraine. I see you're carrying a pair of empty handcuffs. Where's Junior?
He's out in the hall. Rod, I want you to help me teach him a lesson. You see, every time he thinks he's going to get a whipping, he pretends that he's sick so that I'll sympathize with him and not spank him. And I thought maybe you could act as a doctor and we could try to break him of the habit.
Little do they know I'm listening at the keyhole.
Hey, that might be fun. I'll do it.
Oh, good. There's a doctor's white jacket on that chair. Now, you put it on, and I'll call Junior.
Oh, boy, now I can get some revenge on that kid.
Junior!
Yes, kiddo?
Come in here a minute.
Okay. Hey, Mommy, you know what you're about to... How'd you know I was going to shoot that guy with a bean shooter out there?
Junior, I want you to meet Dr. O'Connor.
Really? Well, how do you do, Doctor? It's a pleasure to know you. You big fat slob. Since when here, Dr. Fatso?
Well, I just started practicing today. In fact, you're my first patient.
Well, bully for me. Bully for me. There's nothing wrong with me, so take your business elsewhere, blimp boy.
Junior, why do you call me blimp boy?
I call them the way I see them. Boy, I don't like you. And I'm going to mess up your office and fish you.
Junior, stop mixing up those reports.
Well, Junior, why can't we be friends?
Because we're getting along so well as enemies. And let's be well enough alone.
Well, I heard you've been sick lately. What are your symptoms?
Hmm?
I say, I hear you've been sick lately. What are your symptoms?
Oh, symptoms. I don't feel good. Symptoms.
What I mean is, do you have any pain?
Only in me neck, and I caught that from you.
What do you think, Doctor?
Well, the boy does look like he's lost his color.
Well, you see, it's raining today, and some of the dirt washed off. Hey, can I put on me web feet and go wading?
No, darling, not here.
Isn't it beautiful today? See that beautiful California sunshine going down the sewers?
Now, Dr. O'Connor, don't keep anything from me. Is my boy all right? Will he recover? Will he? Oh, Doctor, please tell me the truth. No matter how it hurts me.
Well, let's not get sickening about it. Every year it comes time for the Academy Awards, she goes berserk like this.
Well, Junior, I think you'll be all right if you'll go home to bed and take a couple of teaspoons of castor oil.
I'll drink a quart of it. What? Castor oil? Well, I will not take it. I will not take it. I will not take it, big boy. Why don't you go take some? You don't look so well yourself.
Why, I feel in great shape.
You can't tell me that, boy. Your lips are a little purple and your eyes are all no whites, no whites no more. What happened, boy?
Oh, you're
seeing. Close your eyes. You're bleeding to death.
Now, Rod, Dr. O'Connor looks just fine.
Well, take a closer look, boy. That face is pretty gray, pretty gray. Look at it.
Well, what do you mean, gray?
Well, it's more green than gray, really.
Junior!
Boy, oh, boy. I hate to alarm you, Fatso, but can't you hear your pulse beating? I came way over here.
Lorraine, can you hear my pulse?
Well, I hear something. I thought it was the riveters in the building next door.
Look at him getting nervous.
I think I can hear it now. Hmm? What shall I do?
Well, why don't you sit down, then you won't have so far to fall when you drop. Because you is going, boy, because you don't look right to me.
If you don't mind, I think I'll call an ambulance and go home.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Doctor. What about Junior?
You can bring him to the funeral, too.
Oh, boy, I fish his wagon.
Oh,
right
here. Now you've made Rod think he's sick. Oh, just for that young man, you're going to get the licking of your life.
No, now suddenly I don't feel too good. Me tummy aches again and me nose is getting ready to bleed.
Well, you just hold still, dear, and I'll give you another pain to worry about.
No, no. Oh, it's awful funny that no matter what I complain of, you always come up with a remedy in the end.
Here. What's going on in here?
Oh, we're just leaving.
Bye.
Now, let's see. Where are those reports from the test laboratory? Hi, there they are.
Hey, Doc, what'd you find out? Was there a fight in here or something? Everything's messed up.
I was just going to look at your chart.
Oh?
Now, let me get all your charts together. Here we are. Mr. Skelton.
Hmm?
I have good news for you.
What?
You are going to be a mother.
Over my dead body?
Oh, my mistake. I got hold of the wrong chart.
Oh.
Here's yours.
What's the result?
If I were you, I would settle for being a mother.
Thanks for being with us, and until next Sunday...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening, and thanks for buying more and more of the Voice Day Miracle.
T-I-D-E, Ty. Out T-I-D-E, died. For beautiful natural softness, exciting natural sheen, don't just wash your hair, condition it with New Dreen.
Now a shampoo that conditions your hair. Conditions your hair to beautiful natural softness. Natural sheen. It's the New Dreen shampoo with beauty conditioner. No other shampoo has this wonderful new beauty conditioner. It's an exclusive cleansing agent found only in gentle New Dreen.
Don't just wash your hair. Condition it with New Dreen.
The New Dreen shampoo with beauty conditioner. Try it. Join us again next Sunday for the Red Skelton Show. Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hey everyone, it's OTR Rob welcoming you to the Burns and Allen Show. This Burns and Allen Show comes from December 26th, 1944, and Gracie hires a drama coach for George. You know, it's during this time frame, George Burns, in the course of this show, stops asking Gracie about what's going on inside of her mind. He kind of knows that he can't keep up with what her mind puts out, and he has a difficult... He stops questioning what Gracie's motives are. He just kind of goes with it, because what else can George do? Nothing else, really. Trying to get through to Gracie is like, well, you know, talking to your computer when it's got a virus. It just... doesn't work. Anyway, enjoy this episode of Burns and Allen from December 26, 1944. And I'll see you all back here next week, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company, and they're all in uniform.
This is Bill Goodwin, inviting all you servicemen and women to enjoy another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our tenor Jimmy Cash, and Felix Mills and his orchestra. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie.
Oh, I'll get it, dear. You finish your breakfast.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Postman. Why, Mr. Postman, you look rather worn out.
I have what is commonly called mailman bends. Or civil service crouch.
Oh, you poor man.
Oh, don't feel sorry for me. My wife and I know just how to cure it.
You do?
Yes. You see, my spine is really like a steel band. So my wife just puts her knee in the small of my back, and I straighten up with a terrific ping.
Goodness, that's quite a trick.
Yes. Well, here's a special delivery letter for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's from our sponsor. Listen to this news, Mr. Postman. From now on, our radio program will be on the air Monday night.
Is that good?
Why, Monday is the night they do high-class drama, like Cecil B. DeMille's Radio Theater and Screen Guild. Say, maybe we'll be doing a dramatic show, too.
If you do, remember me. I was quite a thespian in my school days. I was the Vitamin Flint Heart of John Burroughs Junior High.
Really?
Yes. Would you like a piece of Serrano de Bergerac?
Oh, no, thank you. I never eat pastry in the morning.
No, I mean the play. Listen to this. Oh, Roxanne, with love I tremble. I love you. I am smothered. I am mad. I love you. I am faint. It is too much. Oh.
Oh, Mr. Postman, what pain, what suffering.
Yes, my back is killing me. Well, good day unto thee. And remember, retain a pleasant aspect.
Change it. So it's Monday night, huh?
Uh-huh. You know that's the night Cecil B. DeMille has his radio theater. So I think we ought to do drama, too.
Drama?
Oh, sure. I'll bet Mr. DeMille will be plenty worried when he hears us.
Yeah. He'll tear out hair by the handful.
Yeah, and I... I pity the person he tears it from.
Well, okay, don't worry. We're not going to do dramatics.
Oh, but, George, think of the great stories we can do. The story of Mrs. Parkington, the story of Mrs. Miniver, the story of Maggie Ettinger.
Maggie Ettinger?
Yeah, that's my beauty operator, and does she know some stories?
Tracy, you may as well drop this thing right now. I'm not a dramatic actor, and I'm not going in for drama.
But, darling, you have a great talent for acting. Oh, come on. Let me hear you recite something from Shakespeare.
Oh, go.
Oh, please, George. Let me hear you do To Be or Not To Be. That is the question.
I don't know it.
Well, I'll help you. Now, come on. To be or not to be. That is the... Well?
Question?
Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, George, that's grand. Shakespeare must have had you in mind when he wrote Hamlet.
Yes, yes, yes. I guess so.
Oh, come in.
Well, hiya, Burnses. What's a good word? Hello, Belle.
Oh, have you heard the news, Bill? Our program is moving to Monday night.
No, really?
Oh, yes. And George and I are having an argument. I think that we ought to do serious stuff. The kind of thing that makes people cry. But George wants to tell jokes. Please give us your serious opinion. Do you think we should do drama?
Well, yes, Gracie, I do. Frankly, I think you're very good. And the man with you is only great.
Oh, Bill.
I mean it, George. I've never heard a finer, richer, more resonant voice.
Well, thank you, Bill.
So, Gracie, when you've picked out the play for next Monday, just call me and I'll be ready. So long.
Well, you see, George, everyone thinks we should do drama.
Sure. Just so they can do their stuff. Well, forget it. It's not for me.
Oh, George, don't say that. True, you're a great comedian, great as Jack Benny. But you're also a fine actor like Charles Laughton.
Oh, Gracie.
Well, you're a combination Charles Laughton and Jack Benny. It just so happens that your Laughton sticks out more than your Benny.
Forget it.
Well, folks, I brought you some more hot coffee.
Oh, Mrs. Regan, you haven't heard the news. No? Starting next week, Mr. Burns and I are changing our radio program to Monday night.
Are you now?
Uh-huh.
Then Monday's going to be a busy day around here. We'll have to change our washing schedule.
Well, yes, we will.
What day would you like to do it, Mr. Burns?
Never mind.
You see, Mrs. Regan, I'd like to do a dramatic program, but I can't seem to convince my husband.
Dramatic program is a fine idea. And I think you should do something like that excellent Irish play, The Informer.
Never mind, Mrs. Regan. Just pour me some coffee.
Coffee is a Joe Wanton. No, Danny, me boy. The jig is up, and there'll be no feeding of informers in this house. Fie on you, and the black name you brought on the honor of Ireland. Keep the snivelling little wretch covered with that gun, me girl, while I go out and call for help. Help! Help! Help!
Now, you see what you got me into?
Don't move, Danny, me boy. I've got you covered.
Oh, no. Jimmy Cash, our young tenor, sings for you A Little on the Lonely Side. Jim?
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side. You know, my dear, when you're not here, there's no one to romance with. So if I'm seen with someone else, it's just someone to dance with. Every letter that you send me, I read a dozen times or more. Any wonder that I love you?
Radio program is moving to Monday night. George has simply got to do drama. He'd only be great, you know.
You really think so?
Oh, yes. He's an actor from the top of his head to the tip of his toes.
Maybe. But it's that stuff in between you got to worry about.
Well, anyway, I've sent for a dramatic coach to come over and teach George a few things.
Like what?
Well, now, for example, I know Barrymore has great facial expressions.
Yeah?
She'll give him that. Herbert Marshall has great diction. Mm. She'll give him that. Van Johnson has great... No, she couldn't give him that. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Regan. There she is.
Mrs. Burns?
Yes?
I am Elizabeth Stevens, the dramatic tutor.
Oh, well, come right in. My husband will be here in a few minutes. He's the one I want you to toot.
Oh, I see. Meanwhile, perhaps you'd like a sample of my ability.
Yeah, well, all right.
Now, here's my impression of a famous personality you're sure to recognize. Hello, Mother. Hello, Father. The calla lilies are in bloom again. Such a lovely flower, suitable for any occasion, really, it is.
Oh, that was wonderful. It sounded just like her.
Thank you. And next, I shall recreate a very popular Academy Award winner. Mr. Skeffington, I hate you. I hate you for what you did to my brother. You beast. I never loved you, Mr. Skeffington. I married you for your money. You fool.
Oh, that was wonderful. Simply wonderful. Who was it?
That was Miss Davis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. But I didn't know Joan was in that picture.
Quiet. Suppose we talk about your husband.
Oh, all right. I'm sure you'll have him ready for Shakespeare in no time.
Of course, addiction isn't everything. In order to play such roles as Hamlet, a man needs a handsome physique. How would your husband look in type?
Oh, he'd be a dreamin' type. He has simply gorgeous legs.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well, his legs are so beautiful, they're actually jealous of one another.
Jealous?
Yes. His knees won't come near each other. As Bill Goodwin once put it, his knobs are snobs.
Well, I can hardly wait to see your husband in tights. However, first I shall concentrate on his speaking voice. I must teach him to project pear-shaped tones from his stomach.
Oh, well, that'll be easy. He has a pear-shaped stomach.
Hello, dear. Oh, you've got company.
Oh, yes. I'd like you to meet Elizabeth Stevens.
How do?
How do? Please, not how do. You should say how do you do. Do. Nice and round. Project. Ooh.
Well, thanks for the tip, although I didn't ask for it.
No. You didn't ask for it. Ask.
You're darn right I didn't. And what's more, where do you come from?
George, come in the den a minute.
Okay. Didn't ask. Ooh. The idea of that dame picking on the way I talk. Say, has she got something to do with that dramatic idea of yours?
Why, no, George.
Who is she?
Why, she's our new laundress.
Laundress? She, and I almost insulted her. She certainly sounds high class.
Oh, she is. You see, the average laundress just does the clothes rough dry, but this woman went to a finishing school.
I see.
Graduated with honors. Magna cum laundry.
Okay, I'll put up with anything for a laundress.
Well, I thought that would work. I mean, I knew you'd cooperate.
Mrs. Burns!
Oh, excuse me, dear. Mrs. Regan is calling. Now, remember, humor the laundress.
Don't worry. Gosh, a laundress of our own at last. Now I can get my long underwear washed without waiting until summer to get them back. I'll take the underwear in and ask her. Miss Stevens, my wife just told me all about you.
Oh, splendid. I'm sure our association will be a happy one.
Yeah, me too. I brought these out to show you.
Those? Oh, yes. Your wife said you look quite handsome in them.
She did? Matter of fact, I do look a little like Errol Flynn in them.
Aren't they a little baggy?
Yeah, but they'll be better after they're washed. How about giving them a try?
Very well, put them on.
Put them on?
Well, certainly. I can't do anything until you've put them on. I use the Stanislavski method, you know.
Oh. I guess I'm more used to the Chinese hand method.
There are many schools. old, but I'm sure mine will prove satisfactory. Now put them on and I'll start to work on you.
Will it take long to do the job?
Perhaps weeks.
Weeks.
Well, you seem surprised. I spent months on Gary Cooper.
Well, his are much longer than mine.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business, but what do I do while you're working on me? Just stand there?
Of course not. You walk up and down and say, "How now, brown cow? Browsing in the green grass."
Miss Stevens, isn't there an easier way?
Oh, don't despair. When I'm finished, everyone in Hollywood will want to see you.
Well, I wouldn't let them.
Let's not be modest.
Well, look, how soon can I get back into my regular clothes?
Well, not until we found, ironed out all the rough spots.
Now, wait a minute.
Please don't argue. Put them on.
Okay. How now, brown cow, gazing in the green grass?
Time for Felix Mills and his orchestra with "We Hear the Very Thought of You."
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
Darling, how's Mr. Burns getting along with the dramatic teacher?
Shh. I didn't dare tell him she was a dramatic teacher. Oh. He thinks she's a laundress. That way she can still correct his speech and everything without him getting wise.
Mrs. Burns, you've always managed to get around your husband.
Yes, but it's getting to be quite a trip.
Say, Gracie, I'd like to have you explain
something. Well, George, what are you doing in your long underwear?
That's what I want to talk to you about. That new laundress insisted I put them on before she'd wash them.
Oh, I see.
I feel silly.
Well, you look very cute, doesn't he, Mrs. Reagan?
Just like a big white bunny rabbit.
He does not look like a bunny rabbit. Does he? Mrs. Reagan, stop laughing. George looks very handsome in his long underwear. Honest, he does. Well, he does not stop it. He's very handsome.
All right. That's enough. Believe me, if we hadn't been trying for 2 years to get a loaner, I wouldn't stand for this. Oh, gosh, someone's at the door.
Oh, it's only Bill Goodwin. I saw him through the window. You see what he wants, George. Mrs. Reagan and I are busy in the kitchen. Come on, Mrs. Reagan.
Just like a big white bunny rabbit.
Come in, Bill.
Say, George, I was... What's the idea of the long underwear?
Got a laundress who's as nutty as a fruitcake. She insists on washing the underwear while I've got them on.
Holy smoke, no wonder you always look like you've been through the ringer.
Come on, I'll put on my robe and let's go in. Well, here I am. Oh, this is Bill Goodwin.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? Hey, you're kind of cute to be doing this kind of work. But then I guess you could say the same about me, huh? Well, I've done a few things of my own. Yes, just light things.
Oh, where did you do them? At the Pasadena Playhouse?
No, on the back porch.
Back porch? Oh, I would like very much to get you on a stage.
Really?
Yes.
I'd like very much to get you on a back porch.
Well, then, I am a dramatic teacher.
What?
Yes.
Then why did you want me to put on the long underwear?
I thought they were your tights.
Well, sister, if those are tights, his skin is awful loose. Wait a minute. Did my wife hire you to sell me on drama?
Well, in a manner of speaking, that was the idea.
Well, you're wasting your time. Goodbye.
Very well, if that's your attitude. Going my way, Mr. Goodwin?
Well, I would be, miss, if you weren't so high class. I kind of like a hep chick.
Well, come on, tall, dark, and sudsy. Let's cut a rug.
Well, oil your hinges, Gate. I see you swinging. Goodbye, two shoes, you square from Delaware.
So long.
Jimmy Cash comes to the microphone now to sing the new Cole Porter ballad, I Love You. Jimmy?
I love you. Come the April breeze, I love you. Echo the hills, I love you. The golden dawn agrees as once more she sees that hotel. It's spring again and birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs, and it all belongs to you and me. It's spring again, and birds on the wing again start to sing again the old melody. I love you, that's the song of songs, and it all belongs to you and me.
Now, that wife of mine. Gracie, come in here. When she makes up her mind to something, nothing in the
world... Did you call me Spencer? Oh, I mean George. I keep thinking of you as Spencer Tracy now that we're going dramatic next Monday night.
We're not going dramatic next Monday or any of the following Mondays.
No?
No, and another thing. I found out you lied to me about that laundress.
Oh, yes. Yes, I lied to you. But I won't do it again. I swear I won't. You were right. I was wrong. I've been a foolish, headstrong girl, but from now on I'll obey. I swear I will. Your slightest wish is my command. Don't hate me, George. Beat me, kill me, but don't stop loving me. Oh, don't stop loving me.
Gee, honey, you mean that?
No, but with acting like that, we're crazy not to go dramatic.
Oh, fine. Now, Gracie, for the last time, just because our program will be on the air Monday night, and we don't have to make ourselves for Cecil B. DeMille's radio theater.
But, darling, you mustn't be afraid of us. Things will be the same. You'll still take your bows, your applause, my salary.
Nothing doing.
Oh, but, George, I want you to be famous. I want you to have stature and dignity. I don't like what people are saying.
What are they saying?
Oh, they're saying, look, there goes the husband of Gracie Allen, the comedian. I don't like that.
Don't?
No, I want him to say, look, there goes the husband of Gracie Allen, the actress.
There's no use talking, Gracie. I'm sticking to comedy, and I've got a great joke for next week. So I'll say to you, W.C. Fields fell down the steps last night with two quarts of liquor and didn't spill a drop. Then you say, how come? And I say, he had it in him. don't you get it? He had it in him.
Oh, George Burns, that's the worst thing I heard in my whole life. You wouldn't dare do that on the radio. You better change to drama.
Excuse me, Mrs. Burns. Mr. Goodrum wants to speak to you on the telephone.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Regan. Now, don't go away, George. Hello? Yes? Yes. You what? You did? Oh, Bill, you're wonderful. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, Mrs. Regan, yes? Guess who Bill got for our program next Monday? Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer? Whoa!
You said it.
The French Barry Fitzgerald.
Yes. Oh, this is wonderful. Now I can do drama with Charles Boyer. Oh, I'm so glad George refused to go dramatic.
Gracie, I've been thinking this over. I've decided to give the drama a try.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, but George, I have a wonderful joke for you next week. You said W.C. Fields fell down the steps last night with two quarts of liquor and didn't spill a drop. And I say, how come? And you say he had it in him.
This is very confusing. I don't understand. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Production.